broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
It's a glorious day in Hawaii. We've got a high surf advisory up for the east-facing shores, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and Maui. There's a wind advisory until 9 o'clock this evening, except for Haleakala Summit, which seems awfully strange since one would think at the top of Haleakala it would be blowing the most. We've got a fabulous day for a round of golf today. Just about anywhere you'd like to play on the Big Island, for instance, Volcano, it's 59 chilly degrees. There's a 920, a 1010, an 1130. On Kauai, there's a 950, 1120, and a 12 o'clock. And if you want to take advantage of Oceans 11 or Oceans 9, get over to Poipu Bay between 7 and 8. You can play 9 holes of golf along the ocean and have lots of time for family. Raw Hawaiian has a 10-10 and 11-36. Olo Mana between 10:30 and 2:30. They're wide open. Makaha, there's a 9-08. Wailea Gold Course, a 9-08. And Maui Nui, the visiting law tournament is getting underway, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. We're going to talk in just a few minutes with a man who's brought out a book called Playing Through Modern Golf's Most Iconic Players and Moments. And this is what a World Golf Hall of Fame member, Dan Jenkins, said. Jim Moriarty and I traveled this same trail covering these same golf legends. And these excellent essays indicate that he must have paid more attention than I did. This book is a feast for golf fans. We're going to thank the people first to make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, and Aim Point certified Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
So I'm doing a little research on Jim Moriarty, and I come across some of the articles he's written, and one sentence just captures, to me, the way this man writes. And I'm just going to quote here. It's just a story about somebody he was writing about with the last name of Bowditch. Maybe you recall the name. He's a professional golfer. Quote, with the body of a stevedore, eyebrows as thick as the first cut of rough, a shock of black hair, and a 5 o'clock shadow that arrives before noon, Bowditch turned pro at 18, worked for 3 months as a greenkeeper, and left Australia to play in Europe. In that one sentence, I feel like I know more about Bowditch, Stephen Bowditch, than I did watching him play golf and watching on all kinds of outlets. Welcome to the show, golf writer, golf photographer, 35 years with GolfDigest.com, Golf World, Golf Digest. He wrote The Spirit of Pinehurst, American Golf Courses, and a novel called Open Season. His name is Jim Moriarty, and his book now is Playing Through Modern Golf's Most Iconic Players and Moments. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jim.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. I heard the number of open tee times you had. Can you get me there in time for a quick 9 before sunset?
You know, if we could get a hold of any number of, if Arnold Palmer were alive, I hear that he gave people rides whenever they needed one. So maybe, I'm just thinking along those lines.
Well, I, as nice as that sounds, I don't really want to fly with Arnold at right at this moment.
No. But that was the kind of guy he was.
I know. I'm just teasing.
I understand completely. And so I'm going through, playing through, and tell us, you know, it's a beautiful book, and your writing is spectacular. You chose, is it 13 chapters? 13?
There's 12. There's 12 chapters.
Yeah. 12 of modern golf's most iconic players and moments. What did you want to achieve with this book?
Well, when I was thinking about it, I don't know how familiar you are with the work of Herbert Warren Wind, but Herb, his first book was The Story of American Golf, and basically went from the Apple Tree Gang right from the beginning to about, the 1950s era. And then he had a second book called Following Through, which was a compilation of his New Yorker essays that went from kind of the end of his first book to about the early 1980s when Herb retired. And I'm not putting myself in Herb Wind's category whatsoever, but there was no single book that I could find that went from, say, the early 1980s up to now that would deal with in a relatively complete fashion, shortened somewhat, but relatively complete fashion, with all of the great players of those intervening years. So that was kind of the idea of it, was to just fill that gap.
And it's perfect. And these last 30 years have been tumultuous in the game of golf, not just in the way we play the game, but the equipment, the technology, it's changed
everything,
right?
Exactly. In many, many respects, it's been the most interesting and, as you say, tumultuous years that golf has had. I mean, when you think of what's happened with the equipment and everything else, but at the end of the day, I think the essence of the game has not changed. I mean, it's still extraordinarily gifted, talented people doing extraordinary things under the most intense pressure, and it is what brings out the character in all of these great players.
It's interesting that you should put it that way, because the publisher is University of Nebraska Press, and the publisher in one of the places you can find this book at Amazon.com, for instance, wrote, "Golf may have changed in the last 35 years, but Moriarty's words show that no matter how far the ball flies, it still pits players against themselves, the elements, and their opponents to remain the game we all know and love." It's just a whole lot longer, the sweet spot's a whole lot bigger, and that ball.
yep. But you know what? It still takes the same nerve for Phil Mickelson to hit that shot out of the pine trees on the 13th hole at Augusta National that it took Bobby Jones to play a shot.
Yeah.
It requires the same intestinal fortitude and the same daring.
Yeah, and I went to Bubba Watson at the Masters, you know, coming out of the pine needles, making a sharp right.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. A hard left or right.
Yeah, you know? Bizarre.
Yeah. But it is what makes our game what it is, you know, and no matter how they try and. We can have the philosophical discussion on the golf courses have gotten too long and it makes it too expensive and blah blah blah, and all of that's true, but the essence of the game has not changed.
Playing through modern golf's most iconic players and moments. Let's take up a couple of the players, and I want to start. Chapter 5 is Phil the Thrill.
Yeah.
And you start by saying golf became more interesting the day Phil Mickelson, nothing more than a toddler at the time, mirrored his father's right-handed swing and then stubbornly refused to switch.
And that's Phil, isn't it?
In a nutshell.
Phil's got his own way with everything. There's no doubt about it. And it's just, he's endlessly fascinating. I mean, he just really is. He will occasionally put his foot in his mouth, or actually both feet, if he can manage it.
With Tom Watson, for instance.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But Phil is Phil, and as I say, you look at that shot that he played at Augusta, and boy, you have to have 100% belief in yourself to be able to do that under those circumstances. And he's got that, and he has such an extraordinary ability to forget things that have gone wrong. You know, I talked to Gary McCord, and of course they're great friends, and I talked to Gary at length about Phil, and he said he's so amazing in his ability to just forget. And Phil will design these things, be it two drivers or whatever he's going to carry in his bag, and then if it doesn't work out, he goes, oh, well, okay, and he just moves on to the next thing. And it's like, all right, we tried, that didn't work, we'll just move right on.
It would be fun to have, you know, Golf Channel has this new show called Driver versus Driver. It's got people designing a driver, and in one instance, they didn't realize that there was a non-conforming driver that they were trying to present to the panel as something that should be put forth. And when you said that, I'm thinking, you know, Phil Mickelson should show up on the show and bring what he would like to design or be a judge. He's got that kind of personality where he could
Phil is your basically non-conforming person.
Yes, yes.
You know, he's got a non-conforming personality. And here's the guy, you look at this amazing talent that he has, and he's never been the number one player in the world. And it's sort of the end of the essay, he just had to settle for being the most interesting.
And certainly, he has been the most interesting in some of the scandals he's managed to get himself into, whether it has to do with gambling or investments. And when you say forget, it just seems to go right over everything.
If it doesn't work out, he goes, didn't work out, you know, boom, we go move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
He's extraordinary. His ability to forget and move on is just extraordinary.
I also think it has to do with his politeness, his fan friendliness, his ability to be the consummate politician. So he has a very good relationship with the media. They're willing to forgive him more often than not.
That's true. And there are people that accuse Phil of being a little bit manufactured in that regard. But I'm not one of those people. I've seen Phil, you know, stand and sign autographs until he's ready to fall down. I've also seen him avoid the autograph line, if there was a graceful way out. But I will tell you this one story from the book about Phil. And that was after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. Phil was the first person to call the tournament people and say, look, I don't know whether you're going to be able to have this tournament or not. If you can, I will be there. I will do whatever you want. I'll do commercials. I'll do appearances. I will do whatever you want me to do.
Wow.
And then in the intervening time, Phil won his first Masters. And the next, I believe it was the next tournament he played in, the first tournament he played in after he won his first Masters was New Orleans that week after the hurricane. And he showed up and did exactly what he said he was going to do. All the promos, all the commercials. And I saw him stand there and sign autographs forever. And that's just, you know, he offered and he did it. And that's, you know, he's that kind of guy.
Yeah. Very approachable. And on the opposite, polar opposite, we go to Tiger Woods, and I thought this is perfect. When I get, you know, Tiger's come out with his new, it's not really a new brand. It's more an umbrella organization that's going to absorb all of his interests, whether it be, it's TGR, and it's going to have his restaurant, his golf courses, his whatever he comes up with in the future, whatever business enterprise, much like Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer did. They had an umbrella organization that handled everything. So that was a big story, right? That was completely unexpected.
Well, you know, as an IMG guy once told me about Bjorn Borg, he said, yes, he's not playing anymore, but he hasn't stopped making money.
Yes, yes. And that's the bottom line. I mean, Arnold Palmer made more money in business after leaving golf than he ever did on the golf course.
And Tiger, you know, Tiger will be the same in some respects.
And then
I don't know about his restaurant business.
No,
but,
well,
But his course design business, well, from everything I've heard, his work is pretty good.
And we'll see. We'll see how that unfolds. He's a young man. He's only 40. Phil Mickelson's 46, isn't he 46 already? So here we go. Then after he pulls out of the Safeway open, Tiger Woods, then he announces this new umbrella organization that's going to handle all of his business interests in the future. Then he goes on this media blitz. He's on the nightly show, Stephen Colbert's show.
Right.
He's doing this lengthy thing with Charlie Rose. He said, Charlie Rose asks, "What do you regret?" And Tiger Woods says, "Leaving college."
Yeah, well,
I thought
I will say one thing. He was a member of probably the most interesting college team that was ever assembled.
And that's where I'm going.
Exactly,
because in your book, and we're talking about playing through modern golf's most iconic players and moments, and imagine, I think of each of these chapters as kind of a column. Hidden Tiger, Crouching Lion is chapter 8. And I get to the part where you talk about the team. And what an interest, as you said, one of these team members we're pretty familiar with here in Hawaii, Will Yanagizawa. So it's like I'm reading this, looking and thinking, there's Nota Begay, and you say he's one of the smartest people in golf.
I've always, from the first minute I met Nota, I always felt that. I mean, he's just a very thoughtful man, and he thinks, he thinks deeply about stuff, and he's just an interesting guy to talk to. But then look at look at Casey Martin. It's funny because when I got into golf, when I began covering it for Golf World in 1979, the conversation was all about who the next Nicklaus was going to be, and then, Hal Sutton was going to be the next Nicklaus. And then somebody, Ben Crenshaw. And then, there was a whole string of next Nicklauses. And the next Nicklaus, turned out to be Tiger Woods. But it always struck me that we'll see the next Tiger Woods before we see the next Casey Martin.
Somebody
who was so, whose body was so damaged, but who was so talented he was able to overcome it. It was extraordinary.
What you write is extraordinary. The way Jim Moriarty writes, playing through modern golf's most iconic players and moments, in it, he writes, Casey Martin, a damn near cripple, who would be the only one of the bunch to make it all the way to the Supreme Court, and you could argue persuasively, did as much for golf as all the rest of them put together. I'm still a notch or two shy of Gandhi, though. That's... You're just wonderful the way you just put it all together.
Oh, right? You're too kind.
No, I'm not. Your words are fabulous, and your it's thought provoking, and it's really a joy. Makes me want to read your novel. And I'm looking for it online. It's going for $27.
It's been out of print for many years, and some people would say blessedly out of print for many years.
You're a gem, Jim Moriarty, golf writer and golf photographer. Do you do much photography now?
Photography anymore? No. What happened with me was a nice confluence of events, because I never had taken a photograph in my life until I became the associate editor at Golf World. And we were just this little tiny publication based in North Carolina. And I walked into work my first day, and the editor-in-chief, Dick Taylor, pointed to this pile of cameras in the corner of the room. Literally, it was a pile. Nobody took care of anything. It was a pile of cameras in the corner of the room. And he said, "Those are yours."
Figure it out.
And so I became kind of a self-taught photographer. And then when my freelance career, began, I did a combination of writing and photography in it. And in fact, you'll find this interesting, the greatest thing about it was that because I could both do the story and the photographs, anytime Golf Digest had an expensive travel story to do, they would send me. So they would say, so they would save money.
Yes.
Which means I got to all of your lovely islands.
Oh, my.
And it was the most wonderful thing that could ever happen. I mean, I did travel stories on every single one of the islands and couldn't have had a more wonderful time.
Oh, Jim Moriarty, a real pleasure. I you know, this gentleman lives 5 miles from Pinehurst number 2.
Oh. And I can't hold a single one of those greens.
Oh, yeah. But you get to try all the time. How fun is that? Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I hope we talk again. Aloha. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Aloha. And same to you, and anytime.
Aloha. We'll be back. We're going to delve into Danielle's game. I've been putting myself back together again after a period of having to recuperate back surgery. Many people go through this, whether it's the knee, the elbow, the shoulder, it can happen to you. Or you've just gotten so frustrated with your game, you've just stopped playing. But there's a part of you that just wants to go back. Or maybe your game has changed. Maybe, you know, over time, your swing's gotten shorter. You're just not long anymore. Maybe you're not going to get as long as you used to be, but you want to lengthen it, but you don't even know that you've gotten short, and that's why your game is off. We're going to talk with Jason Dygert, Golf Tech, Director of Instruction, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I was just talking with Jim Moriarty, the author of Playing Through, Modern Golf's Most Iconic Players and Moments. And of course, a lot of people know him as a writer. Golf Digest magazine from 1985 to 2001, contributing writer to Golf World, 2001 to 2015, freelance golf writer now. But he was also a photographer, as we talked about at the end. And someone wrote in a review of the book, and the reviews have been excellent. They said, for considering how great a photographer Jim was, it was strange seeing a book that he put out without photographs in it. So it just tells you what a great person and how many abilities Jim Moriarty has and still working. 35 years with Golf Digest, that's a long time. And now with his book, Playing Through, Modern Golf's Most Iconic Players and Moments. Let's go now into Golf Tech. Golf Tech is just down the street, across from Ala Moana Shopping Center. So if you're on the Eva side of the Ala Moana Shopping Center and you've just been doing a little shopping and you see that Golf Tech sign, you really should stop in. If you have thinking about doing something with your game, maybe working a little bit on it, because, you know, the last time, there's one gentleman in Europe on the European tour, I think it's the Portugal Masters they're playing right now, he retired and came back and he's leading. Sometimes you need to step away and come back, and all of a sudden, maybe you're more relaxed, maybe you're not thinking quite as much. Or in my case, I decided to take the opportunity to just start from the ground up so that we could look at everything, so I could build a foundation. Welcome back to the show. Jason Diger, Director of Instruction at Golf Tech.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. I was watching John Cook on Morning Drive on Golf Channel, and he said that he had such a crummy year last year that he decided to start all over, and I started listening to him like, what? You know, what are you? It sounds like, and certainly not me, I'm not on the PGA Champions Tour. I've never won anything. I hardly have a great handicap. But he said that the swing, as you get older, and he was happy to say he was 59, it gets shorter. And so your swing gets shorter with age. We get shorter with age. We kind of shrink. So his focus is standing up straighter and making a longer swing. He said he'll never get parallel at the top. But can you work with people with that problem?
That's an interesting thing about golf and how your body changes over the years. And I think it's a great thing about golf in that you can evolve your game as your body evolves and make certain changes into your swing and what your body allows to help you still play the game at a level that's good for you.
Exactly. And Cook was saying he needed to reassess his game, you know, and look at what he wanted to improve. And his body turn, his right hip release, freeing up his swing, the longer swing. When he talks about longer swing, what do you think he's referring to?
Well, he's definitely referring to trying to get his hips and shoulders to turn more and probably create a little bit more depth in his swing. One thing that we do down at Golf Tech that you have seen, Danielle, is we measure body rotation with a hip sensor and a shoulder sensor. And Golf Tech has been around for over 20 years, and in those 20 years, they've tested hundreds and hundreds of tour players and found out what an average tour player, how much they turn their body, and in addition to other motion measurements. But a senior tour player will, on average, not turn their shoulders as much as a PGA Tour player. It's not a big difference. It's usually about 6 or 7 degrees difference on average. And then you compare that with a LPGA Tour player who turns their shoulders, shoulders and hips roughly 5 to 10 degrees more than a PGA Tour player. So that flexibility, certainly changes with men and ladies and as we get older. So undoubtedly, he's talking about trying to create a little bit longer swing, turn the hips and shoulders a little bit more. It puts a little bit less stress on the joints, so you're not making such quick thrusting, sudden movements, and you can kind of build up your speed as you turn longer, if you will.
Exactly. And I think what he showed us, and I'm sorry you weren't able to see the segment this morning, but or Wednesday, he showed us how, you know, your whole chest and shoulders kind of curve in with, and I'm not talking about, it starts when you're in your 30s and 40s. You start forgetting your posture. And you kind of curve in, then your swing changes with that curve, and you don't realize it. So if you pull yourself back up to your original height and allow, doesn't that give your arms that more room, and you can bring that swing longer and freer?
Absolutely. It definitely becomes a more efficient movement. One thing that we look at a lot down at Golf Tech is the plane of a golf swing. And the plane of someone's address position on the video screen there, if you If you draw a line, a shaft plane line through the player at address, that is undoubtedly different than the shaft plane line at impact. And a lot of players, as we get older and lose the ability to, you know, maintain that forward bend in the swing, there becomes a pretty significant change in the shaft plane line at address compared to the shaft plane line at impact. So when John Cook is talking about that standing up a little bit taller at address, he is minimizing the difference in that angle. And that certainly allows for a more efficient movement, less compensating in the swing, ultimately will make his ball striking more consistent.
There you go. And that's exactly what he was talking about, you know. And so when I had back surgery and decided to, you know, okay, I feel well enough, and that's something that you as the individual are going to have to figure out. Do you feel well enough? Do you have the confidence? Are you still frightened? Fear will make your muscles tense. Stress tenses you up. So if you're afraid of doing something, then you need to not do it. That's the biggest. Or find out, where's that fear coming from? Is it because you just haven't tried and you're afraid? You can try and then stop. That's the key. But not doing nothing isn't going to get you anywhere. So you want to do stretching. You want to walk. If walking is good for you, or you want to get on a bike, they're different. The stationary bikes are great to get some movement, not only in your legs, but it also starts your hip movement. So all of those things, you just need to start. And then so that goes with golf too. So you just want to start. And over at Golf Tech, and this is Jason Dygert, he's the director of instruction. He's been doing this a long time. What he'll do with you is he'll say, you know, if this hurts, stop. That's all. Well, we won't do that much, but we can see what we can do. And maybe it's as simple as a grip. You'll be surprised if you haven't been using a club. And I really enjoyed this one tip that was given to us about Arnold Palmer. I keep going back to him because he's so top of mind in my life. When he'd grip the steering wheel of the car, he would take his three fingers. Didn't you tell us this, Jason?
Yeah. We did. We talked about that because that's one of your key pressure points in your grip is the for the lead hand for most right-handed, well, for right-handed golfers, the last three fingers of your left hand. That's one of your key pressure points, and that has to be a good, secure, and correctly placed part of your golf setup.
Exactly. So what you want to do is just start holding a golf club. You know, or when you're driving, Jason said, when you're driving, Arnold Palmer, his quote was, the first thing he'd do with the steering wheel is he'd grab it with his hand and hold on with those three fingers. And then you start strengthening your hand and you realize, wow, I haven't used the muscles in my hand that way before. So I went to Jason Dygert at Golf Tech and we started with the basics, the stance, the grip, the ball position, the grip. There are muscles in between my thumb and my pointing finger, my index finger, it's like, wow, that muscle hasn't, I don't think that's ever been used before. You know, making that crease there, Jason, you know,
yeah.
You know, when you really focus on it, yeah.
The crease is in those hands. You do if you haven't been really creating a proper grip with your hands and you start to get that little crease going between your thumb and the base of your index finger, you can actually get a little cramping in that muscle, which is, if you're not a golfer, then you probably have never experienced that. Maybe a fisherman does that.
Yes.
A fly rod, you know, something like that. They probably have a similar creased position in their casting hand, but it really allows you to control the club better. And, you know, in what we were doing, right, checking that crease, and I was just looking at your web lesson here recently, Danielle, and in addition to the good creases we had, we wanted you to get your left arm relatively straight at address and get your right elbow slightly bent, and that puts your hands in a slightly forward position at address with a little bit of shaft leaning forward. I mean, these are things that you know, that we're going to work on, that we check and just make sure that they're there every time. And before you know it, it's going to be an unconscious part of your setup, and it's going to be it's going to allow all these other things that we're doing to happen much more naturally.
Yes, and when you first showed me that I didn't have a strong grip, that, you know, I was afraid I wasn't going to get it right. But the more I do it, the more comfortable it is. The more I do it, the more natural it is. The more I do it, the more I just automatically grip it correctly. What is really key in our last lesson for me was the certainly bringing the straight arm, you know, for me, it's my left arm straight back to bring the club back. But it was the hinge that I wasn't getting correct. The hinging of the club. Tell us why that hinge is so important. Doesn't that give us the power that then comes through?
Absolutely. And when we talk about, you know, creating leverage in the golf swing and, you know, especially helping you to create power and speed in your swing without, you know, without fast and sudden jerky movements with your hips and shoulders and, you know, turning and stressing out your back like that. That leverage system that we create with a good grip and a good hinge allows you to create a lot of speed and control of the club head just on its own. So, I mean, I definitely want to make sure that that leverage system is working very well. It's going to put less strain on your back, essentially. If you're doing that correctly, you're going to be able to generate some pretty good speed without, you know, jerking, movements with your back and turning your hips and all that stuff that you know, that we like to see in the golf swing, smooth movement. But I definitely don't want you trying to do that by creating fast, sudden, jerky movements with your body rotation.
Yes, and that is what I've always done prior to the surgery. You know, I'm sure that didn't help my back over the long term. I didn't play all that much, but any movement like that that's not good for you can just add to what may already be an underlying issue that's going on for you, an underlying weakness. So sometimes you're walking around a golf course and you see somebody and they obviously have some physical challenges. You know, they're limping. And yet they'll stand up to the tee, they'll get on the tee and they'll just, wow, 200 yards. And how did he move? Like, wow, that went so far. And yet, obviously, this person is compensating for something that's going on in their body. And yet, it went straight. It flew so far. How did he do that?
Yeah.
You know, so what you and I, listening, you can do is you can accomplish this. You don't have to walk away from it. And at the same time, you have to also understand that how much time that you have, your body's abilities, your strengths, your weaknesses, and how much time you commit to grooving your swing will be the resulting outcome. So a lot of times, don't you think, Jason Diger, Director of Instruction at Golf Tech, that sometimes we have these expectations that don't match up at all with what we've put into the golf game.
Yeah.
I people walk up to the tee. They're driving right now. They're going to have a fabulous time. They're going to go have fun. How their game is going to be depends on how much maybe time or stress they've had in the week.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're carrying a lot of that stress and tension with you it's going to show up in your golf swing. And I think, you know, even players at the highest level, their games change almost on a daily basis. It's the tension and maybe the stress that they have outside of the golf course and, you know, different little things can trigger different little things in the brain, and the body doesn't work quite as easily as it did the day before, or maybe this day is easier than yesterday, and because of, you know, who knows what. I think that's a great thing about golf, is that it's not only changing from day to day on the golf course, but it's changing day to day with the golf.
So the most important thing is, you know, just remember how much, to me, it's like, have you practiced? Have you actually gone out and hit balls? Or is this the first time you've played in a month? Well, if it's the first time you've played in a month or 2 months or 6 months, don't expect your game to be all that fabulous. Maybe the first couple of holes, and then you might start getting tired. And you don't feel tired because you're having fun with your friends, but your body's tired. You know, there's sometimes a disconnect. And I just always want to caution people, just go and have a good time. And if realize how much effort you put into learning the game or playing the game. You know, we watch on television, it looks so effortless, but there's a lot going on. Junior golfers, Golf Tech has a great environment for young people to learn. I know young people go and practice and use the facilities. When should a junior golfer come in and see his or her swing on the Golf Tech monitors?
Yeah, we have had the chance to work with a lot of really, really good juniors over the years. You know, juniors will come in to us as early as 5 years old, 6 years old, and, you know, it kind of depends on attention span and how much they are, you know, probably getting out on the golf course and playing with mom and dad or uncle and auntie, and just, you know, kind of see at what level are they at that young age. But, and you can usually see it in the first 10 minutes. If they, you know, are really looking at their golf swing, and then they, you know, they might look at Rory McIlroy or Ricky Fowler, one of these, or you know, some of the young girls that are out there, and just really identify with that player and identify with that swing and try and emulate that. That's a great thing about the video feedback is they can see it and start to, you know, process those movements and what it should look like and. You know, it's really a cool thing to see with kids and ultimately helping them, you know, with establish solid fundamentals and just have fun with it and do various games that will improve their feel and touch and all those different things that go into playing the game well.
Jason Digard, PGA Golf Tech Hawaii Center Manager, Director of Instruction. So I'll see you on Halloween. Should I dress up like Ricky Fowler in orange?
Absolutely. I'm going to do something weird, so we might as well.
I'm looking forward to my next lesson. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to Mayakoba. That's right, because Michael Patrick Shields is here in the house, long distance. He's in Mayakoba. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
Wow, what a beautiful day. let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Like I promised, we're going to Mayakoba. Michael Patrick Shields, travel writer, TravelTattler.com is where you'll find his musings about where he's been recently, and he's all over the world. Welcome back into the clubhouse. It's been a long time, Michael Patrick.
Buenos dias, bonita señorita. Por favor, ¿cómo está?
Fabulous. Thank you so much. You're,
Muy bien.
Michael Patrick Shields is where the OHL Classic at Mayakoba in that area, and they play, I think, at the El Chameleon Golf Course. There's a beautiful golf course that's just out near the Fairmont Mayakoba. And boy, Michael Patrick, I'm looking at some of the stunning photographs of this resort on the website. The building is, it's amazing. It's got this adobe sort of feel to it, the walls with the straw hats on top.
See.
I see. Have you been having a beverage room or something like that?
Dos cervezas, por favor. No de Niro.
No de Niro. Do you need money at the Fairmont?
See. Well, no. It's about Cancun. And Mayakoba Resort is about 45 minutes south in Riviera Maya, very close to Playa del Carmen, which is a lively town. And once you get into the Fairmont there, you are a bit, you know, adjacent really to the El Chameleon Golf Course that you talked about, where they have the OHL Classic,
uh-huh.
The only PGA Tour event in Mexico. So they call it Mexico's Major Championship.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And, yeah, and it's a Greg Norman course, which sometimes scares people, but this one is very playable, lots of room to hit the ball, and very friendly, despite the fact that you are, as you pointed out, playing in the Venice of Mexico, where there are miles and miles and miles of canals cutting through the resort, cutting through the golf course, and can ride on little ferry boats and get eco tours of all those.
Yeah.
So it's very, very natural, and of course it's a beach resort as well. It's just a sprawling property. And it's a really good place to get away.
You're kind of cutting in and out a little bit. I'm not sure if you're moving, if you're sailing. Are you on one of those eco tours, taking the ferry across?
They're easy to do. And can you hear me okay now?
Now I can, yes.
Loud and clear? Okay. Well, so you've got these ferry boats, and you've got the golf course, you've got the beach, and it's, once you drive into Mayakoba, you know, you're away from everything, and so you can relax. You wouldn't need a car or anything like that. It's very fun, very cool. And the, you know, what might surprise people is that Cancun or Riviera Maya there is really on the same latitude as Cuba, for instance. So when you get to the sea, you're looking at Caribbean-style water in the Caribbean Sea. So it's got that really bright blue azure look to it, and all of the water sports, everything is included, so you don't need to pull your wallet out for everything you want to do. And that's always nice for travelers too, I think.
I think so too. You know, there's nothing worse than walking up outside to the sandbox and them having a little kiosk that says, okay, the bucket is going to be $5 and the spade will be 10. But snorkeling, and what is this Xcaret Wildlife Reserve?
That is like a wildlife Disney World just up the road, and what they have there is sort of natural activities, including, as long as you're not claustrophobic, you can get in the water in an inner tube and float through underground caves. Because all the water in that area is below the limestone. There are no lakes above the surface. So if you go under there, and you might be under there for an hour, for instance, floating through these giant, they're like cathedrals in rock and with stalagmites and so forth, and you float right through them in the river, in the water. So that's a pretty damn unique experience that you, I don't know anywhere else you can get that.
Did you do it?
No.
Not even with a glass of wine or a bottle of thereof.
That would have been nice. No, they are lit from below too, so that they're very dramatic.
Wow.
You know, the word was, if you're claustrophobic, it's not for you because you are under the ground for an hour.
And they're not going to get you out any quicker, that's for sure, right?
Yeah, you just float through. Now, I am ashamed to admit this, but Martin Kaufman is with me, and he is the editor of Golf Week, travel editor. And they have something that I also didn't try, but I insisted on seeing because I want to write about it. And Martin was nice enough to go with me and actually participate in this. But they have an insect-eating experience.
Okay.
Something else I have never seen anywhere else. But it's insect degustation, they call it. So you walk into this really nice dining room that is on the water, and you sit down, and they pair either mezcal or beer, and they bring out little dishes with different types of insects for you to eat and wash down with the mezcal or the beer. And they don't fool around. I mean, it's not just like insects laying on a dish. It's blended, say, with, you know, you might have some salsa or you might have some guacamole or whatever, and they make these dishes out of, you ready for this? Grasshoppers, ant eggs, worms, and something else that I'm not sure what it was.
My notes are getting all twisted up.
Yeah, it was actually like a tiny little crayfish. So that would be the least unusual, but still.
You need the avocado and the salsa to make it go down.
Well, I think so. And the ant eggs in particular had a creamy texture, according to Martin Kaufman. And he really deserves all the credit in the world for munching through these things.
TMI, TMI.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
you
goodness.
Can do that if you go there. And the funny thing is, it's no big deal. The Mexicans consider it a luxury. And they said when it comes to these worms that they were eating, they might go through an entire field in an afternoon and only find three of them. So it's a huge luxury.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you about the cooking classes, but I think I better stop right where we
are.
No, there is but that is that, you know, for a lot of people, that is a wonderful experience. You know, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, you know any place else you can do it?
No. No.
On purpose?
Not on purpose. No, not. You know, and then I was going to ask you about the UNESCO declaring Mexican cuisine an intangible heritage of humanity. But I think we'll just backtrack and go to all the things at the Fairmont Mayacoba. I mean, golf, tennis, water sports, adventure camps for kids, you name it. It's a beautiful, beautiful destination. It's gorgeous.
It's very sprawling, too. So when you get there, it's you don't even see the lodging. It's blended in with the trees. And you have a balcony that almost always overlooks a canal. And so it's very, very natural. And there's a nature preserve right smack in the middle of it. So you make your way down to the beach. And once you get there, you know, you've journeyed even inside the resort. So it's very nice in that respect. And like I said, at Cancun, there are usually lots of flights to get there. The airport was very navigable. I thought one of the funny things I saw was, you know, the big tower that they have for the air traffic controller?
Yeah.
Monitor. Uh-huh. It had a huge Corona logo all down the side. So it looked like a giant bottle of Corona with a perch on top.
That gives me a lot of faith in the, you know, their ability to get me in.
Yeah.
Once again, Michael Patrick Shields, you have made my day. Thank you so much. You know, this is going to become a best of. You know that, don't you?
Well, how about, you know, and by the way, I was watching the Donald Trump debate in Mexico, so that was kind of funny, too.
Yeah, on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Michael Patrick Shields is travel writer. TravelTattler.com is where you can read, as I said earlier, his musings. And it'll be all about insects and eating gourmet style.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And by the way, Graham McDowell from Northern Ireland is the defending champion, which always makes me happy, too.
Yes, because we love Northern Ireland. When are you going back?
St. Patrick's Day. Come on along.
I would love to. Okay. I'm talking to the radio station. We're gonna take a break and come back. We're gonna go to Japan with a lot of junior golfers because it's time for the Asia Pacific Junior Cup. Hey. Michael Patrick Shields, thank you for being with me.
Ohayou gozaimasu. Sayonara.
Sayonara. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Alrighty, from Mayakoba, Mexico, we're going to go to Japan. And Matt Rollins is the executive director of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Yes, he took over for Mary B. Porter King, who continues, of course, as president of the board of directors of HSJGA. Mary B. Porter King, when she was organizing HSJGA back in 1999, she was a guest on my show. So I'm always happy with this is the 10th Asia Pacific Junior Cup. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the little intro there. Obviously, yes, I'm filling in now for Mary B. And it's been a great experience for me, obviously, to get some mentorship from Mary B. over the past few months and to, I guess, assume this position with Kauai State Junior Golf. So far, my experience has been amazing, and we're definitely looking forward to this upcoming Asia Pacific event in Japan.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Matt Rollins comes to us from Canada, 13 years with the Alberta Golf Association, a 50,000 member strong organization with 200 member facilities, also manager of sport development, growth and development of golf and the high performance golfer. So he's got all the experience necessary to really help with moving the kids as the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has done so beautifully. From the age of 7 all the way up to high school, they participate in so many different tournaments every month. They're not every month, but most of the year they're working toward earning points. And that is how I believe the team is put together for the Asia Pacific Junior Cup, which has been played. The plan was to go Hawaii, Japan, but it's been in Hawaii for 9 years. So this is the first going to Japan for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association's Asia Pacific Junior Cup. And this must be something, I mean, this is somebody, Mary B. couldn't give you any help putting this part together. It's a whole new world that you're going to, Matt.
Yeah, it is a new world, but it's very exciting for us. Obviously, it's been going to have its challenges. We're going to be managing 16 kids, taking them over there, but we're very excited about this opportunity. And like you said, it had been in Hawaii for the past 9 years, and through the vision of Mark Wang from Hilton Grand Vacations and Mary B., I think they had done such a great job hosting the event at Waikoloa on the Big Island that it just made sense to keep it there year after year. And obviously, Japan has stepped up and want to host us this year in the 10th anniversary. So we're very excited for a unique opportunity to head over there and experience their culture and a different, totally different golf course. And to go onto their turf and compete.
So tell us, where are we playing the 10th Asia Pacific Junior Cup?
So we will be in Miyazaki, Japan, at the Tom Watson Golf Course, part of the Phoenix Resort. And it looks incredible. We've
obviously browsed around on the website, and I had a good conversation with David Ishii about the golf course, and it's a forest course that really demands a good tee shot. So that'll be a big part of our planning and preparation as we get the kids, as we get them ready for competition. So we'll really be focusing on kind of that target golf and getting them ready for the competition.
Them, I'm going to mention them. You may know Claire Choi of Honolulu, Kami Hamada of IAEA, Miki Manta of Honolulu, Alicia Mai Mateo of Mililani, Alana Sakuma of Kapolei, Malia Nam of Kailua, Trevor Arashiro of Honolulu, Justin Arcano of Wailuku, Remington Hirano of Honolulu, Zachary Kaneshiro of IAEA, Sean Katahira of Hilo, Evan Kawai of Honolulu, Justin Angan, Wailuku, Andrew Otani, Honolulu, AJ Teraoka of Honolulu and Junho Wan of Honolulu, all going to Miyazaki in Japan, playing at the Phoenix Resort, representing Hawaii and the 2016 Asia Pacific Junior Cup. It's a Ryder Cup style event, pitting our juniors against the entire country of Japan. We are brave.
Yeah, we've got our work cut out for us, that's for sure. However, Hawaii has won this event 3 times out of the 9 that we've had so far.
Yeah.
And obviously, I've been out here for 8 months now, and I've had a chance to interact and watch these kids play, and they've played in some major events, and they're fantastic kids and very talented, and I think we have a great shot out there. So we're going to get these players as prepared as possible, and we really look forward to the competition.
Yeah, I know. Don't get me wrong. When I say we are brave, we are talented. We are fantastic. This team could beat anybody. They're great kids, and they have a lot of experience in competition, a lot of experience in match play. You guys, you work with the kids, teaching them the art of match play, because part of this, of course, is singles, is about match play. It's a team competition.
Yeah, exactly. So we make sure to have a few events in our schedule that are going to prepare these players for events like this. So we had a match play tournament on Maui earlier in the year, which was just a singles match play tournament. And then we also have a mixed team match play on Kauai. So obviously some opportunities for the kids to experience match play. And then when the kids qualify for the U.S. Junior Amateur, there's an opportunity there for them to play in match play as well. So our kids are definitely not strangers to match play. And so day one is a 4-ball format. So we'll have 6 mixed teams and then 4 all-boys teams. Comprised of 2 players playing their own ball and taking the best score on each hole against their opponent's best score. So that's day one. And then day two, we'll have a foursome format, which again will be 6 mixed teams and 4 all-boys teams, comprised of 2 players playing alternate shot against their opponent's best score on each hole. And then the final day is obviously the singles competition. So some different formats there for the kids to have a lot of fun with it. It's going to be very exciting, and I know the kids are really looking forward to this opportunity to travel overseas for this event.
Just hold the thought. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So the kids work all year long on accumulating points based on how well they do in tournaments. Is that correct? Is that how the teams are chosen?
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, these are our top 6 girls and top 10 boys in the state. So they play in tournaments throughout the year, and they accumulate points based on how they finish in those tournaments so that we have a year-end point total.
And who are the team captains?
So myself, Lauren Yama, who is our Director of Communications and Special Events, and then Katie Fuqua, who is a PGA professional at Koalina Golf Course. Katie also has a background in coaching. She worked for UH for quite a while as well, and has also helped out with Asia Pacific in the past. So both Lauren and Katie have the history with the event. Obviously, they know the kids very well, so that'll go a long ways in helping us prepare and interact with the kids and getting them ready.
Absolutely. Is there a way for us to follow the scores? I know the Aloha Section PGA has always been very supportive of HSJGA events and other events, and it's always, you know, like, I wonder how they're doing. I wonder how they're doing. Of course, the time zone's going to be different. If we had talked, I tried to schedule Matt Rollins. He's the executive director of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association to talk with me while in Japan, let's say on the 4th of or 5th of November, because the event is November 8th to the 10th. It's at the Tom Watson Golf Course, the Phoenix Resort in Miyazaki, Japan. And, it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning for him to come on the show at 7 a.m. in Hawaii, which I should have insisted.
if you really want me, I'll make it.
No, I don't want to do that to you. I want you to be fresh and focused and ready to rock and roll, as they say, with what's coming up with our 2016 Asia Pacific Junior Cup, first time being played in Japan. This is so exciting. I know the dream in the beginning was to Asia Pacific, a lot of countries. And there was at time talk of China entering a team, becoming a part of this. Is that moving forward?
To be honest, we haven't had too many conversations about it since I've been out here. Obviously, the arrangement that we have with Japan works very well right now. We are in conversations with China about other opportunities.
Oh, good.
So it might be something that happens down the road, but at this point, we're very happy with the arrangement that we have with Japan. So,
oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah, obviously, we'd welcome other countries to, if they're interested, or other groups from Asia Pacific, if they're interested, to have that conversation, but we are where we're at right now.
That's fantastic. I know from talking with some of our Hawaii residents who are working in, you know, places like China, there is a real groundswell of junior golfers, and led by the success of the Chinese golfers that have managed to come into the LPGA, and Shen Shanfeng, you know, she's taking everything by storm. She's doing very well. And then our Thailand contingent is huge. And it'd just be interesting to see the growth of this. But Japan is wonderful. And having this 2016 Asia Pacific Junior Cup in Japan, in Miyazaki, is absolutely great. And Matt Rollins, thank you so much for being a guest on the show and taking the time to chat with me about it. Is there something you wanted to mention? You know, thank some of the sponsors, for instance, who are making this possible?
Well, definitely. And I wanted to just come back to one question that you did ask. We will have the results posted on our website. We'll be sending out press releases as soon as we have results. And we'll be making sure that our social media channels have the updates as well, so that people can follow along from home. But yes, obviously Hilton Grand Vacations, they've been obviously the driver behind this event for us, and they've supported it to help it become the event that it is currently. So I would obviously like to say thank you to them. And then we have great support from donors and funders around the state, the parents and the volunteers that help the kids at these events throughout the year. I've been blown away by the support from around the state for junior golf and the facilities that step up to host our events. So it's been an amazing experience for me in my first year out here, and obviously the support that is out there for these kids, I can't see them being anything but successful over in Japan. So we're really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. You can find Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. It's hsjga.org, just like Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, only just the letters, hawaiigolf.org. That'd be one site. Also on Facebook, it's Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And on Twitter, it's HSJGA, at HSJGA. There you go. Matt Rollins, Executive Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Yes, good luck and travel safe. And we can't wait to find out how things go. We'll be following.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk this morning, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to discover some of the hidden gems on Oahu that you may not have played, and you should. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter, but really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422. Or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome. There's tee times available. If you'd like to play Makalei, there's a 9:30. Volcano has an 11:30. It was 59 degrees, nice and cool up Volcano side. Oceans 11 and 9 at Poipu gives you the opportunity to play 9 holes along the ocean, 11 holes along the ocean. That's from 7 until 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're going out to play, there's an 11:20 and a 12 o'clock. And Poipu Bay has some great gift cards. You know, you can get a gift card for your stocking stuffers this year. I know, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. It hasn't even gotten to Halloween, but it's time to start thinking. And just some ideas for those of us who would like to give our golfer something, but you don't know what to choose. And that is a perfect gift. Raw Hawaiian has an 11:36. Ola Moana between 10:30 and 2:30. Lots of tee times there. Beautiful course. They're really taking care of it now. And Makaha, 11:15. Wailea Gold Course, a 9:08. Let's get right to our municipal courses. A lot of us, we would love to play more golf more often, but some of the golf courses, most of the golf courses, they're at least $60, even for Kama'aina. So the idea of taking advantage of the really cool city and county municipal golf courses is an idea that you really should pursue. Guy Ka'ulu Kukui is Director, Department of Enterprise Services, and he's joining us this morning. Welcome to the show, Guy. Guy was there. The municipal golf courses include Alawai, Eva Villages, Kahuku, Pali, and the Ted Makalena Golf Course, and the Westlock Golf Course. The greens are at the Pali Golf Course. You don't realize how beautiful the Pali Golf Course is until you go play it. And everything's running beautifully. So I think Guy is here now.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm having a fun time this morning. We've been talking everything about eating bugs in Mayakoba to the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association heading off to Japan, where Michelle Wee has been seen eating live creatures. The girl has an amazing appetite. So, you know, I'm not sure if you heard my introduction, but a lot of people, $60-$65 is a lot. I can't afford to go play golf, and I certainly can't afford to take me and my kid to the golf course on a regular basis. That's why the municipal courses are so wonderful for us. And Alawai, Eva Villages, Kahuku, Pali, Ted Makalena, Westlock, and of course, I play the Pali golf course more often than I play others, but I was at the Ted Makalena golf course not too long ago. I got my golf cart, and I really enjoy it. Tell us about, you know, I don't know if people realize, Department of Enterprise Services, Guy Ka'ulu Kukui is the director. You are in charge of our golf courses. Is that correct?
Yes, it's one of the divisions of the Department of Enterprise Services, the other being the Blaisdell Center, Waikiki Shell, Honolulu Zoo, and our concessions. But golf is one of our major activities. We've got six courses, and you know, as you pointed out, the price is right at city golf courses. Our, for instance, weekend rate, if you went out right now for a Hawaii resident with a golf card, you'd pay $26 plus the card of $10. So the price is right, but the value really is in the course. And you earlier called them gems, and I agree with you. Absolutely, each individual course is a gem unto itself.
Yeah, I've taken friends to the Pali golf course, and they're like, wow, this isn't the way I remember it. There's been a lot of work done on the municipal courses. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And what we've done really is to say, you know, we know at the municipal courses, we don't offer all of the same amenities at every course that the other private courses offer. There's no question about that. But we know that a golfer is going to value the tee to green experience. So we're really putting our effort in improving on every single course the tee to green experience, which I think right now, without another single improvement, probably stands up to most of the rest of the courses on Oahu, except for perhaps some of the resort courses in terms of quality. But in terms of layout and the track and the variety of courses we have, I don't think you can top our courses.
I want to tell you something. Matt Janella of Golf Channel, he was with Sports Illustrated, Golf Digest, travel editor. He travels around the world. He frequently visits Oahu because his brother lives here. He raves. One of his favorite golf courses is Kahuku.
Mine too. Mine too. Yes. I played there again, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before. I love it out there. We've got a lot of ideas of what we'd like to do there just to enhance, not change the experience, but enhance the experience. The only true Lynx golf course in Hawaii.
It is. Absolutely. Now, Mark Rolfing was talking a lot about making changes there. But, you know, there's part of us that goes, okay, we want to, like you said, Guy, enhance, not make major changes. What kind of changes are you talking about?
Basically, we're looking at, right now we don't irrigate that course, and we're very fortunate. Mother Nature's been good to us out there in recent years, but we don't irrigate the fairways. We hand water the tee boxes and greens. I mean, next time you're out there, take a look right around the green. You'll see a hose bib and probably a hose attached to it, and our very dedicated two-person staff hand waters every green out there. So irrigation is one of those enhancements that we'd like to look at.
Yeah.
But not to change the nature. You know, if you're playing the course, and I think it's number 7, the roadway passes between the fairway and the green there.
Yes.
That's great. I love it. I mean, it's a neat little feature that you're not going to encounter on other courses in Hawaii.
No, and it's, you know, I always want to take care and keep something that's real about our legacy, our Hawaii, you know, and the Kahuku Golf Course is one of those things that to change it too much would be like, wait a second, you're taking away from those things that people go to Scotland and to Ireland to discover. So why would you want to turn this into Disneyland?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you mentioned Pali, and you know, for others who might be listening this morning, if you've golfed over the last 30, 35 years, and if you just started about 30 or 35 years ago, like myself, you probably played at the Pully often because, you know, it is and was cheap and it's what you could afford. But when you got there, and this is my own memory, when you got there, there was lots of people waiting. There was, you know, a foursome on the tee box. And then there was, you know, at least a couple foursomes waiting. There's one on deck, one in the hole, and a lot of pressure as a beginning golfer standing on that first tee, trying to get your ball into their first fairway. Well, you've got about 16 real golfers
staring
in their carts just waiting for you. And knowing when you hit that ball and it goes out into 18 or number 9 fairway, they're just thinking, wow, this is going to be a long day for myself.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it is anymore. I mean, it's such a comfortable round to play out
yes.
there. And I guess that's the point I want to make. If you haven't been in a while, get out there. I would go today as soon as this show is over.
Yeah. No, it's a fabulous, it's what I said at the top of the show. I think I lost your call. Pully Golf Course is not what a lot of people remember. It is a really, really wonderful experience. And the girls from EWGA have gone out on a number of occasions and we love it. Whether you play 9 holes or 18 holes, and that's the beauty of it. You know, it's your choice. You don't have to play 18 to have an outstanding experience, and then you're back after 9, you're right at the clubhouse, and it's
right, exactly.
a nice clubhouse.
Exactly, and great views. You know, the staff has done a great job of almost 100% now. I think there's a couple of spotty areas, but 100% conversion to the seashore past Palom on the greens. The putting is true. The course is challenging. You know, the rolling hills. It's a great round of golf.
Now, you talk about waiting. Okay, we got to go talk about the Alawai Golf Course, because is it still the most used golf course in the world?
You know, I know that's been said. I mean, I think we all kind of hesitate to say it absolutely is, because I don't know that we know right now, but it is busy, but it's not impossible to play. I mean, even when our starter out there gets a call from a visitor who doesn't have a tee time, usually they'll tell him, come out, you know, stand by. If you, within an hour, if we're looking in an afternoon anyway, you can probably get out. So people are playing, and the pace is good. So I wouldn't let that scare anyone away. I hadn't played at the Alawai in a very long time before starting this job. Went out and got a chance to play with a couple regulars, and it was just a lot of fun. It was great to be back out there.
Oh, good. You know, some people were saying that there are sixsomes and fivesomes that sometimes make it really hard to keep the pace going. And
go ahead.
I was just wondering if that's a policy that, you know, is unusual, or if that's something that it just happens, like I said, is it unusual?
I think it's unusual. I think maybe sometimes there might be regulars who get out there and then group together. But, you know, my sense is, and this is what I hear from our team, is that we've got groups like that moving. In particular at the Pully, they probably are a group of folks who play often and keep moving.
Yes.
I've not noticed the play slow down at the Pully. And so I'm just saying, if you know, if you're an avid golfer and you think you'd enjoy around there, I would get out there. I wouldn't let the thought of a long wait or a slow round of golf cause you to hesitate, because I haven't noticed that to be the case.
No, Guy, I'm talking, the Pully has never been a problem.
Okay.
I'm talking Alawai.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant Alawai if I said Pully. I didn't mean
Alawai. Yeah, no, Alawai. So it's been written up in places.
Right.
You know, and I just wanted to bring that up. We can't, it's like the elephant in the room. You can't ignore it.
Right.
And the other question I have is, more talk has been about changing things at the Alawai. Is your department thinking about making changes to the course?
Not to the course. We want to enhance the range area. As you know, it's been closed. It should open in the middle of next month.
Oh, yay!
And, you know, it has been regrassed, and there's new irrigation put in there. We're adding a chipping green adjacent to the driving range. So if you can picture the driving range right now, there's the old sort of pro shop structure. Next to it was a practice putting range.
Sure, I remember.
On the Kapalua side of that structure, we're adding a little chipping range. So we're adding a slightly elevated green, a greenside bunker, and we want to create a total practice area and really teaching facility at the Alawai.
Wow. Because I know a lot of teachers who like using the Alawai as a place to teach their students.
Right.
It's convenient. It's very convenient. Do we have a concession chosen yet?
We do, I believe, have a concessionaire selected to operate the Alawai concession. And I know, I think you've got Garrick Iwamura on next week.
Yes.
You can probably get into the specifics.
Oh, cool. Excellent. You've got a big job. I can only imagine how exciting it is. Do you get free tickets to go to all the stuff that happens at the Blaisdell?
Boy, I wish I did.
Well, I have to ask.
I get a free view of the line that people stand in to buy tickets.
It's been a pleasure meeting you. Guy Ka'ulu Kukui, Director of Department of Enterprise Services. Did I leave something out you wanted to say?
No, except just to reinforce, our courses are in great shape. I recently played all of them. You know, you're listening. Stop listening as soon as this show is over. Make your tee times or just go show up at the start. I think you're going to be really impressed with what you find. And if you've got any comments you want to share with us, call in next week when Garrick Iwamura, our golf division administrator, is on this show, and give it to him personally.
Excellent. So remember, it's the Alawai and Eva Villages and Kahuku and Pali and Ted Makalena. I was just at Ted Makalena. It's in great shape. And West Lock. Thank you for being on the show, Guy.
All right, have a good day.
You too. So we want to thank the people who make this show possible. But first, I want to mention that the Gary Planos Endowment Tournament is at Kapalua Bay Course November 14th. It's a shotgun at 12 o'clock. It's to raise funds and awareness for the Evans Scholars Foundation. And after the golf, there's awards and Gary's favorite Hawaiian cuisine. Okay, so you can get in touch with the Kapalua Bay course. Let them know that you'd like to sign up, because I believe there are still some spaces available. And Sony Open in Hawaii, it's coming up. They need volunteers. Get in touch with them through the SonyOpenInHawaii.com website. You could volunteer to be a driver if you wanted to just drive people to their destination, because they don't have courtesy cars for the Sony Open, so they need drivers. They need caddies, gallery control, marshals, parking, pro transportation, and if you'd like, they also need people to do their shot link for them. If a standard bearers volunteer pool, just somebody, you know, you don't know what you're going to do that day, maybe you don't want to do something all the time, you get in touch with them at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. And now for my sponsors who make it possible for me to give a shout out to the Sony Open in Hawaii. Thank you so much for being a sponsor of the Golf Club Radio Show. Thank you to Raynor Doors, the overhead door that's used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. So if the Lamborghini showroom is being protected by Raynor Doors, you can trust. They provide lasting security and safety for your business. It's Raynor Doors. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. He's a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, a Golf Channel lead coach at Ko'olina. You can get in touch with him. His email is Claude4BestGolf@gmail.com. Okay? Claude4BestGolf@gmail.com. And the four is a number. So you may have tried to reach him and he never answered. That's not because he doesn't want to. He brought back chocolates for me from France. I mean, it's amazing. French chocolate. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. They've got a rack 50% off men's tops and bottoms. It's been restocked. So you want to go over there, because those are some fabulous gift ideas. Or the gift card, if you just don't know what, you don't know what size, what shoe, what club, what bag, what purse. Yeah, a purse. Okay, go get a gift card. And then there's Futura Stone. Only the best. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork, its Futuristone, and yes, the pavers and the mesh to protect the water. You know, it's got to rain for us to get their drinking water, just in case you've forgotten to tell the kids that. Creative plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, you've got to call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. They are Creative Plumbing. And whether it's a reno, a complete rebuild, or it's brand new, Creative Plumbing. We're RadioGolfClub.com. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.